When you listen to a song like that, you tend to think, yep, that's so true. I like that. I like the idea of that. And may it be that we like more than the idea of that. Sometimes we love the idea of being a good Christian. We just don't want to do all that it takes to be a good Christian. Oh man, old camel knees because he prayed so much. I like the idea of that. I like the idea of people thinking of me as a prayer warrior. Well, then pray a bunch. I don't know. I just like the idea of being a good Christian. I like the idea of I'd rather have Jesus. So when you're doing something on that phone and you're enjoying something and you think, well, God's not pleased. Are you in love with that idea? I think we got to set aside the idea of being a Christian. Because when we stand before God, it's not the idea He's going to judge us on. I felt warm and fuzzy about the idea of good things. I just never did them. Tonight we sang another song like that, didn't we? Take the world, but give me Jesus. I like the idea of that. That's poetic. Makes me feel warm and fuzzy. But tonight, and again, I'm guilty. Up here stepping on my own toes. Let's set aside the idea of being a believer. And let's be true to the one we owe everything to. Let's look there in 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. Tonight we think about what Christ did for us. Boy, last night, Brother Johnson, he raised his hand and he said, hey, I got to lead a man to the Lord at McDonald's. And we were thinking, boy, how did that conversation get started? Somehow he made it happen. I doubt that person said, you look like a Christian. How can I go to heaven? Somehow I think he was prepared to live out more than just the idea of being a believer. And if it comes up, you know, salvation make, I think some people are looking for a chance to shine for him. And that ought to be all of us. 1 Corinthians 11, 28 through 34. So verse 28 there. Let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily. Tonight we're going to look at the idea of qualifications for partaking in the Lord's Supper. Let's not be Esau. Esau was guilty of profaning holy things. To Esau, he would look down here and he'd say, oh, good, snack time, juice and crackers. I get to put something in my face. That's all it would have been to him. But you know, certain things are special. Certain things are sacred. And to Esau, nothing was special. And God despised a heart like that. Boy, for us, there ought to be a somberness as we think of what Christ did for us, as we examine ourselves tonight. We don't want to partake unworthily. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Some passed away for goofing about serious things. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Back up to verse 28. But let a man examine himself. The qualifications of partaking in the Lord's Supper. It's a special evening. It's a wonderful time. It's a serious time. It's a sober time, but it is a wonderful time. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and thank you for this evening. Lord, there's no place on this earth I would rather be than right here. In your house. Thinking about what your Son did for us on the cross when he tasted my sin. Not just sin in general. But my sin. On the cross. Oh God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for loving us enough to send the Lord Jesus to die. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us and being obedient to your Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for opening my eyes to my need of a Savior. Oh God, meet with us tonight. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let a man examine himself. Four things I jotted down. You need to be saved. You need to be saved. You need to be born again. This isn't just snack time. You need to be saved. Are you a new creature in Jesus Christ through salvation? Are you saved? Were you submerged? Were you baptized? This is a part of it. Were you baptized? Were you scripturally baptized? Now, I'm glad I can say, were you? Not, are you saved and are you submerged? Because that would be a problem. Because I was submerged. I came out. I was still submerged. That would be a problem. I breathe air. Are you saved? Were you submerged? Are you settled? Are you a member of a New Testament church? Not just attending one. Not just attending. We'll talk about that tonight. Are you settled into a New Testament Bible-believing church as a member? That's a part of this. And then the last thing, are you spiritual? You understand the importance of the church, and you're set apart in your life, both inwardly and outwardly, to what God is trying to accomplish in His local church. Are you saved? Were you submerged? Are you settled? And are you spiritual? We'll look at those things tonight. First of all, are you saved? Bible churches are to be made up of truly regenerated believers. You can see kind of all of my points here in Acts chapter 2. So Acts 2, 41 and 42, and then verse 47. It says, then they that gladly received his word, what is that? Salvation. Were baptized. What is that? Immersion. Submersion. And the same day they were added, they joined, they added, they were settled in membership. They were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And verse 42, we see that they were spiritual. They did something with this membership. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The Bible speaks of, gives different metaphors to help illustrate what a church is. And there's a body metaphor. And a body is alive. All right? The different parts of my body, they're alive. And the church is likened to a body with different parts placed into the body, but all very much alive. Are you saved? You need to be saved to be part of the body. And you get your life in salvation. The living parts. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. And somebody says, wait, I gotcha. What about the building metaphor? Isn't there a metaphor of a building fitly framed together? And building materials, those are dead, aren't they? Those are inert. Maybe I'm a shingle. Or maybe I have shingles, you know, or something. Oh. Maybe I'm a window. Maybe I'm some concrete. So maybe there's some dead parts. But no, the building, God's building is different. There in Ephesians 2:21-22, in whom all the building fitly framed. So you and I, if you're a member of this church, we're to be saved and we're supposed to be a part of the building. But we're not dead parts of the building, because in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Peter even adds this in 1 Peter 2:5, ye also as lively stones. You see, the building materials for God's house are alive. Ye also as lively stones are built up into a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Are you saved? That's part of the qualifications. You don't want to eat this bread and drink this cup tonight if you're not saved. It's a part of what's going on tonight. You don't want to drink and eat unworthily. Are you saved? You need to know the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior to be added to a church and therefore to be qualified to take communion. You don't want to take it unworthily. Secondly, were you submerged? Were you submerged? Were you scripturally baptized? Brian Hayes, baptized last week. Richard Valadares, I think, the week before. And then a young lady to be baptized tonight. What a blessing. They received Christ as their Savior and they want to follow Him in obedience. So they gave their public profession of their faith in the Lord Jesus by taking part in baptism. And one will do that tonight. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. Yes, later on they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread. But first there was receiving of His word. And there was a baptism. They were submerged. I have my wedding ring on tonight. And I can still get it off, but my fingers have to be wet. I will take this off when I wash my hands. I don't like the soapy whatever to be, the residue to be stuck under the ring. Anyone like that? Maybe just me. So if I'm washing my hands, I'm like, oh good, my hands are slippery. I'm going to take this off. I'm going to make sure my ring is clean before I put it back on. I want the soapy residue to turn into some weird wedding ring rash or whatever happens. I'll take it off. But sometimes I'll leave it there by mistake and I'll walk away. Uh-oh, does that mean I took my marriage off and I set it aside and I leave no longer married? Does this wedding ring make me married? No, it doesn't. It just shows people that I'm married. It's a public profession of my having been joined to my wife. I want people to know that I am hers and she is mine. And baptism isn't a part of our salvation. It's a public profession of my having been joined to the Lord Jesus in salvation. I'm proud to say that tonight I am His and He is mine. And if someone will refuse to take the first step of obedience after salvation, I wonder what transpired in those words that were uttered, if there was a genuine prayer of faith at all. A spiritual problem in the heart. Are you saved? Were you submerged? Were you baptized scripturally? God wants you to have been. and then to partake in this precious time that he gives to his churches, the Lord's Supper. Thirdly, are you settled? Are you a member of a local New Testament Baptist church? And some might say, again, you may have heard this. I know I've heard that I don't believe in organized religion. You're like, well, good. Go ahead and join our church, and then I'll show you my desk, how disorganized it is. God wants you to be part of a church. So whatever you're comfortable with, set that aside and do what God wants. It's that simple. The church is very dear to him. And by the way, God is orderly, so I don't take pride in disorganization. I do, Lord, help me to be more like you. And, you know, organize the clutter a little bit. Aren't you glad that, oh my, can you imagine what God's desk would look like if he was like us with all the things that he juggles in this universe? Whoo, he's amazing. He's amazing. The church is dear to God. And it should be dear to us. Whatever is dear to God should be dear to us. Listen to this verse. Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Something is worth what you're willing to pay for it. And this church was purchased by the blood of the Son of God. The New Testament church, the New Testament, for the most part, is written to churches. And so consequently to church members. So if you're not a church member, much of the New Testament is not written to you. And you ought to be uncomfortable with that. I want much of the Bible to be written to me. I want to be in that place that the Bible expects me to be when it speaks to me. By the way, it's considered a grave punishment when serious sin comes along to be set outside the privileges of being in the body of Christ. Discipline, church discipline, is a grave thing. And to be set outside of the protective boundaries of God's house is an awful thing. We should cherish what we have within the hedges of protection of God's church. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 4 through 5. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan. To deliver someone to Satan. To deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. An example of the power of the New Testament assembly to exclude through church discipline from their company and privileges somebody guilty of serious sin. It's a blessing to be part of a real church, and it's good not to be put out of one. And you say, well, I thought church is just an assembly. Isn't it just a bunch? I'm assembling with the assembly. Isn't that the same thing? No. No, we saw earlier they were added to the church. Added to those roles. Added to the number. Being part of a church certainly does not make you saved. But once you are saved, it's very important to be part of a real church. You cannot be rightly related to God if you're not rightly related to His church. The Bible describes the church as the pillar and ground of the truth. That sounds pretty important. Describes the church as the vehicle of God's workings in this world. That sounds pretty important. How could you pray the model prayer, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, if you're not there where God is working in this world today? You're not a part of what God is doing. The church is the visible manifestation of the body of Christ. Are you saved? Were you submerged? Are you settled? And then last, are you spiritual? Are you right with God and busy for Him? These, there in Acts 2, it said, then they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued in the doctrine and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. Here, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, it describes, and again, in Romans, he's speaking to believers, right? The book of Romans, to the believers in Rome. So Romans 12, 1 through 5, he's speaking to church members. And he's telling them what God expects of church members. What God expects of church members. You're not ready to partake of the Lord's Supper if you don't care about God's expectations for your life. He says in verses 1 through 5, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Young people, us old fogies, we're not making that up. When we warn you against going and looking like the billboard there in downtown whatever. Oh, look at that guy. My hair is going to look like his. My outfit's going to look like his. That's what I want. We're not making it up when we warn you about taking on a conformity to this world around you. It says so right here. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. To go after the world and say, I'm going to go after these things, and I dare someone to ask me about it. That's a heart that says, I'm not interested in the perfect will of God. It's not a battle us against you. It's us for you. We love you. And we want you to enjoy God's perfect will. And part of that is not being conformed to this world, but being transformed and laying your life a living sacrifice on the altar of God. And then he goes into, we're part of the body. We're part of the body. And I can't just get up in the morning and my right arm has decided he's taking the day off. That's a problem. And again, you think, oh, that happened to me the other day. I slept on my arm wrong. Right? Well, it's a problem, isn't it? You wake up and you're like, okay, come on, buddy. Yep, I need that. And I want you to get it. I want you to reach over and grab that. Every part of the body is expected to be a part of what the body's doing. And if you're saved and submerged and settled, if you're part of this church, you're part of the body. That means you need to do your part. Every part of me is... We're all going to go together tonight and get in the car and drive home. We're all in this together. My fingers don't leave and take the day off. I just don't want to be a part of what you're doing. My left eyeball? No! Every part. And if it stops working, I'm going to go to the doctor and say, hey, this part of the body is not cooperating. What can I do? And hopefully it will help me. And hopefully he's not going to say, well, you know, they have a free will and they can decide to be a part of what you're doing or not. No! It's part of my body. We're in this together. And I want you to help me get it back in line. Listen to what the Bible says. If you're saved, present your body that living sacrifice, transformed, interested in the perfect will of God. And then you're part of the body. Do your part. Do your part. It says, verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Oh, pride. Pride. We deal with that, don't we? I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Pride comes into a church. And then what does it say? I think, is it there in Proverbs 13? Pride comes and then contention follows. And then pretty soon, there's no fellowship and no power in a church. And Paul is saying, listen, will you just be humble enough to be that part of the body and to do your part so that overall the body can be successful for God. But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. So the question tonight, are you unsaved tonight? Well, please don't partake. But let's talk. Get saved. We'd love to show you how you can know Christ as your Savior. Are you unsubmerged? Have you been baptized? Maybe you've been saved, but you've never been baptized. Well, please don't partake with us. That's something we have to take care of. Are you unsettled? Maybe I attend, but I just haven't joined up. I don't like to commit to things. How would that have gone in my marriage, right? I'm dating for a while, and she's like, hey, you know, at some point you're going to pop the question. No, I don't like to be committed to things. Are you unsettled? If you're not a member, please don't partake. But let's talk. It's the will of God that people get saved and then get baptized and then become solid church members. Are you unspiritual? Do you have known sin in your life that's not taken care of? Well, confess it and forsake it and partake. Don't play with sin as if God doesn't care. There's different types of people believe different things about communion. Some believe in open communion, and that when anyone can partake, come one, come all. And that's unscriptural. We saw that tonight. We don't believe in open communion. Some believe in closed communion, and it's just for our members and no one else. And some believe that. And that's a little bit extra strict position. It's an okay one, but it's a little extra strict. We believe in close communion. So our members in good standing and those visiting with us who are members of other churches of like faith and practice are welcome to partake in the Lord's Supper with us tonight. Let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Let's not eat unworthily tonight. But if you meet those qualifications by God's grace, let's enjoy the Lord's Supper together. Lord, I